Today on Jay Sekulow Live, Governor Gavin Newsom banned singing in church in California. The ACLJ preparing to take action.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So, as we were entering into a holiday weekend, if you can call it that this year, when it's been many days of holidays, many days of working from home, depending on where you are in the country, Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, along with the California Department of Public Health, if you're watching us on air, here is what they put out, along with OSHA, California's Department of Industrial Relations, put out this guidance, COVID-19 industry guidance on places of worship and providers of religious services and cultural ceremonies. And don't breeze through this and think, well, hey, these are just recommendations, because when you get right into it, let me read directly from this new guidance. Even with adherence to physical distancing, convening in a congregational setting of multiple different households to practice a personal faith carries a relatively higher risk for widespread transmission of the COVID-19 virus and may result in increased rates of infection, hospitalization, and death, especially among more vulnerable populations. In particular, activities such as singing and chanting negate the risk reduction achieved through 6 feet of physical distancing. And Dad, this is where it's key. This is supposed to be a recommendation. Doesn't sound like one to me when you read this. Places of worship must, key word there, must therefore discontinue singing and chanting activities and limit indoor attendance to 25% of building capacity or a maximum of 100 attendees, whichever is lower.
Yeah, so let's break this down for everyone, because I think the first thing you look at is places of worship must therefore discontinue singing and chanting activities. So you cannot sing or chant in a church that is operating under the guidelines, the California guidelines. They have banned singing in church or chanting. And in some faith traditions, as we're going to learn, chanting is part of the liturgy. Now, take it a step further. Do you think they're going to prohibit singing and chanting in protests that are taking place throughout the country? I think the answer is no, they're not going to do that. So here you have the question of constitutionality. Is it constitutional to ban singing and chanting even when exercising the restraints that you put in place to prevent the spread of the virus? And the answer to that is it has to be unconstitutional. And friends, we're going to find out, because the American Center for Law and Justice is teaming up with our friends at Advocates for Faith and Freedom, our good friend Bob Tyler, and we're going to be filing a series of lawsuits challenging this. And look, we've been resistant to filing lawsuits in this issue because we know that the local localities are trying to work through these situations. But this one came to our attention, and first we said it can't possibly be true, and then they write it as guidance, but then in the order itself, it's crystal clear. It's prohibited activity.
That's right. So when you read the consideration for places of worship, which is much later in the document, it sounds like a consideration. Consider discontinue singing, chanting, and other practices and performance where there's increased likelihood of transmission from contaminated exhaled droplets. Consider practicing these activities through alternate methods. But the word consider is not used in the beginning of the document where it says places of worship must therefore discontinue singing and chanting and limit the indoor attendance to 25% of the building's capacity or a max of 100, whatever's less. So whatever's smaller than that, you've got to limit your building to. And that's a must. And that means something in law. And I'm sure the drafters of this knew exactly what they were doing at the California Department of Health. But will people just shrug their shoulders? No. Churches are already reaching out to the ACLJ, wanting to challenge this, in fact, this order. So folks, support the work of the ACLJ. We have a matching challenge right now. It's how we stay on top of all these issues and get right into court. Double the impact your donation.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Sekulow Live, this is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We know this is happening in California. We wonder if this is happening in other states, too, that may not be getting the same kind of attention that a state the size of California gets.
Yep.
And sometimes they take the more extreme measures. In this measure, they've tried to have it both ways. But what we key in on as attorneys, and until California backs down, what we read is that churches must discontinue singing and chanting activities. Must is a legal word. It is an important word. It is not a recommendation. It is not something to consider. Must, it is, you must stop at the stop sign. It's not a consideration. It is, you must do this. You must pull over if there's a police behind you and you are speeding. You know, that's a must situation. So we have must situations, and then we have government recommendations. Those are different things. You cannot have it both ways. And when you use words like must, Dad, if you're like most churches, you're out there worried right now, am I in violation of some law because we're planning to have singing this weekend?
So it's a 16-page guidance, but the one section of the guidance says places of worship must therefore discontinue singing and chanting activities. And that is regardless, by the way, of the safety precautions that are being put in place. Now, let me say something first. The freedom of speech and the free exercise of religion, the Supreme Court has held, includes the freedom to worship. That is constitutionally protected speech. I'm joined by Andy Economo, senior counsel for the ACLJ, but also a very active member and a chanter in the Greek Orthodox Church. And Andy, this regulation, that's what we'll call it right now, that we're going to challenge with our friends at Advocates for Faith and Freedom, says places of worship must therefore discontinue singing and chanting. You chant. How integral is that to your worship service in the Greek Orthodox Church community?
Well, it is part and parcel of Greek Orthodoxy and of Orthodoxy in the old Eastern Roman Empire from the 4th century, Jay, from the 300s, that we chant our services. The chanters chant the responses. The priest chants the liturgy and the services. Everything is chanted and sung and intoned. Nothing except the prayers occasionally are read, as may be directed in the guidebook of the church, but everything is to be chanted. So essentially what this does, at least in the Greek Orthodox Church, is it closes down our church. We cannot perform the divine liturgy. We cannot perform the services and the sacraments of baptism, of the imposition of holy orders and the ordination of priests, of marriage, of confession, of all the sacraments of the church in which the priest intones and chants these words, are basically by this mandate closed down. And that is an absolute abridgment of the free exercise of religion. The Orthodox Church, and I would say also, although I don't know from personal experience, but I've attended Jewish congregations, yes, and it's the same thing. There is chanting pointing toward the Western Wall and pointing to the East, and chanting in one direction. How that is different from a mob of protesters screaming at the top of their heads to pull down statues and to desecrate monuments, I have no idea.
Well, by the way, we have our friend Bob Tyler with Advocates for Faith and Freedom, who are going to be co-counsels with in this case, has already been contacted by a number of synagogues, because you're right. In a Jewish worship service, the cantor is the chanter. And he or she actually sings the prayers. So they don't just say the prayer is chanted. That's part of the liturgy. And in the Greek Orthodox community, I know this from experience also, Andy, the chanter will chant liturgy, and oftentimes there's a response from the choir. That response would be prohibited under the singing prohibition.
Yes, essentially you would negate the integral part of the service of the Orthodox Church, the Divine Liturgy, and I'm talking about something that has been happening since late antiquity. This is nothing new, Jay. We didn't just implement chanting in the Orthodox Church yesterday. In the Jewish faith, singing and chanting, which was borrowed by Christianity, because the first Christians were Jews. And that's where we got this practice of chanting. We got it from the Jewish tradition. This would bar, basically, and end the practice of the divine liturgy and of holy services in the Orthodox Church. We don't speak the words. We chant the words consistent with what the psalmist said. Raise a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye people and all ye lands. We are based in biblical faith and tradition, and that says sing and chant and intone, not read and say the words.
Let's go to Than Bin in Washington, D.C., too, Than, because we're starting to see this happen. You know, you start seeing it in California. We've heard about it in others. We already have the limitations put in place. Now, most of the time, these limitations are recommendations. They're not enforceable by legal order. That's state to state. Don't take my word for it. You need to know your state's laws, and especially your municipality's laws, because some are enforceable. But in others, we've seen the word recommendation used a lot, and kind of this is what you should do, but you don't have to necessarily do it, and kind of frowned upon. What's happened kind of in like the Mid-Atlantic region, in the churches around D.C., Maryland, Virginia? These, again, they are autonomous states. D.C. also gets some control along with the federal government. I mean, are churches operating at all?
The limitations are slowly lifting, Jordan, but our concern from the beginning, really, it's not that different from our concern in California, is that not only when the restrictions are put in place that they were applied equally, but also as they are lifted, Jordan, places of worship have to be at the leading edge of those restrictions lifting. We're starting to see some concerns that may not be the case, where, you know, a business that is similarly situated to a church across the street has different restrictions lifted at different times. And I would just hearken back to something that Andy said. This is consistent when you look at the biblical moorings of the Protestant church. I mean, he referenced Psalm 100, but 1 Chronicles 16:23, Jeremiah 20:13, they say specifically to sing to the Lord. So again, you're talking about a foundational requirement across people of many different denominations. And Jordan, I would just say, I would echo something that you said right at the beginning of this. We were very encouraging of places of worship to follow the guidance of governments. But look, it's got to be applied equally. This is not only mandatory, Jordan, it's also not equally applied to people of faith and people without faith.
No, I mean, Ryan on Facebook wrote, and this was interesting because he said, when I heard about this, I told my friend the ACLJ will be on top of this. And I will tell you, Ryan, a little bit behind the scenes, the first thing we looked at was whether or not this was just one of those recommendations like we've seen from so many mayors and governors, and then businesses deciding to take those recommendations and put them into action. So it was actually a private business that said you cannot patron, you cannot be a patron here without a mask on. So it was the government not saying you had to. The government was recommending. But now when we see the word must, we realize that, yes, I think the American people are extremely too tolerant of this kind of government action right now. Way too tolerant. The good thing has been that when the courts have looked at this, they've not been so tolerant. Let me remind you about what happened in Wisconsin, what happened in places like Michigan and others that had these extreme rules in place. They were all starting to fall by the courts, but yet, during this time when the numbers started rising again in some states, you saw more and more people voluntarily accept the giving up of their rights. But in California, you don't have that choice to voluntarily do it or not. It's a must. You must stop singing. Now, what's interesting is, and what we'll find out in court, is what happens if you don't? You know, Dad, what happens if you don't stop? Are they going to start sending in the SWAT teams to close down churches?
Well, they say it's a violation of the law.
Yes, you get fined.
So you can be fined. I would expect, and I'll go quickly to Andy on this, but what I would expect, Andy, is if the state, that's why we're challenging at the front end, we're going to try to get an injunction to stop the enforcement of this rule. That's what we will do. Because if we don't, what I'm afraid is the state of California will get injunctions against churches, Andy. That's what I'm concerned about here.
Well, yes, that could possibly be the case. Can you imagine having a court issue an injunction to the Greek Orthodox metropolis of San Francisco saying you may not practice in your church what you have practiced for 2,000 years, and that is the singing and the intoning and the chanting of the divine liturgy. I doubt any U.S. district judge would have the courage to make a statement so contrary to the precepts of history and the practice of the Holy Gospel as to tell you, choke off chanting. You may not say that. You can only read these words. That's not, I hope and pray, what will happen, Jay.
Well, let me tell you this. We're going to be going to court on this. We think this is an outrage. We think it's a violation of the Constitution. And we're going to be working with our good friend Bob Tyler at Advocates for Faith and Freedom, another great organization you should support. So I encourage you to support them, support the ACLJ as well. We're in a matching challenge. Jordan's going to tell you about this. But folks, we've been tolerant at the ACLJ. We've worked with churches to work around and work through issues with local municipalities. But no singing or chanting under any circumstance? That's a clear violation. Religious speech includes the right to worship. It's protected by the First Amendment.
And folks, that's exactly what we're doing here. We're jumping on this on the front end. We did our initial research. We saw that word must, and we said, we must get engaged. Now, we need your support to continue to fight all of these new cases arising out of COVID-19.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Are you a church experiencing these kind of restrictions, recommendations, or even requirements about singing? Singing. We want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. What we always know is that California, these bigger states, they get a lot of attention, but it's not usually the only state taking these kind of actions. It just gets a lot of attention because of its population and size. So we want to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. Jerry is calling in from Rhode Island on line one. Jerry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hello, team. Grateful to Mr. Economo and Than. Both cited the scripture. They were faster than me that says, raise your hand to the Lord. My church in Massachusetts, I live in Rhode Island, we have to wear masks and we have to social distance to be in compliance. So, well, when I saw this thing, as soon as I saw that pop up, I said, that's what they do in China, not in California in the United States. So I'm glad this is the line in the sand for the ACLJ.
Yeah, you know, I think it was one thing when you're talking about social distancing, when we didn't really know what was going on, and we were in, you know, churches being inside buildings. I know churches have gotten creative. My church does a lot of outside services right now, and they kind of stagger them out throughout the week. Some that are more welcoming to kids, and some that are for elderly folks. So they've gotten creative. That being said, if they were told to stop singing, it would seriously disrupt the entire worship experience at my church. More so when you start getting into some of the Orthodox churches, whether you're talking about Orthodox Judaism or Orthodox Christianity. Christianity itself, which is based around the singing of songs, is a major part of the service. And when you have an absolute ban, you must stop singing.
So they're saying even if you exercise all of the requirements of the guidelines for safety during COVID, you cannot sing or chant. Now, Wes Smith is joining us. He is a colonel, retired in the United States military. He's a chaplain, also was an Episcopal priest. Now, Wes, I'm going to ask you the question. This is obviously you're not having this where you are in Georgia right now, but at least I don't think we are. But we do have this in California now where they have said no worship can include singing or chanting. Now, how significant of a restriction is that, Wes, on religious liberty and on the church?
You know, right. Yeah, I was thinking this morning, just when you think it cannot get any more inconsistent and insane regarding the government trying to control religion, you know, this happens. It's interesting, too, for me. You know, I wrote a blog for you all on ACLJ this past weekend about, you know, Independence Day and how that the First Amendment was not designed to protect the government from religion. However, it is designed to protect religious groups and religious people from being interfered with by the government. And this is a flagrant, you know, violation of that. You know, personally, my view, Jay, is that even restricting worship, making churches cancel or limiting how many people attend, they don't have the constitutional authority to do that either, I don't think. Religious leaders of the various denominations can make this call, and they have. My bishop has. And technically, we want to be sensitive to CDC guidelines. I think every pastor wants to protect his people. But to dictate the particulars of how people worship when they do gather, to including forbidding singing or chanting, that is the most flagrant and egregious violation of the First Amendment. And Jay, there is no coronavirus exception to the Constitution. This is insane.
Well, you know, I'm looking at websites of some of the more left of center liberty groups, and even they say religious speech and worship are affirmatively protected by the United States Constitution. So when you say, I'm trying to look at this and says, places of worship, so that means churches, synagogues, mosques, places of worship, must therefore discontinue singing and chanting activities, and then they have the attendance limitation. So even if your building was 5,000-seat auditorium, you could only have 100 people. But even in that situation, this is how it reads, Andy, no singing, no chanting.
Well, that's an outrage, Jay, because, you know, the coronavirus does not know the difference between a chanting of a hymn and a protest march. And to say that you can sanction one and permit the other is hypocrisy in the worst possible way. When we in the Orthodox Church sing, pray, we chant. During Lent, we sing the chant that begins, Anixo to stoma mou ke plirothisete pnevmatos. Let me open my mouth and let it be filled with the singing of the Spirit, okay? And that stands for all chants in Orthodoxy, and I know also from personal experience in Judaism as well, from which Christianity derives its chanting tradition. And to say that that is prohibited while screaming and yelling mobs and violent protests and the pulling down of statues and iconic memorials is not prohibited, this is hypocrisy in the worst degree. And we have got to fight that in the courts and everywhere because we cannot permit it to stand.
As we are preparing the fight in court as we speak, we've just launched a brand new petition online at aclj.org. I'm reading it right off my phone. And this is a petition. It's very clear. Don't ban singing in church. Can you believe in 2020? Think about that. ACLJ has to launch a petition, and the title of the petition is Don't Ban Singing in Church, and that's because some states have done just that.
Yeah, California is a big state.
Don't ban singing in church. Sign this petition right now at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. If you've had enough of the just the radical left trying to take this moment where we're all facing a pandemic and use it to reorganize our society, to demonize, think about that, to demonize attending church, and it's even worse than demonizing if you want to sing when you're at church. Sign that petition, aclj.org.
Hey, Wes, I want to go back to you for a second here, and very quickly, because we're running out of time for this first half hour, but in a minute or so, the significance of this restriction on Christian worship, how would you summarize the significance of what this battle will be?
I think it is extremely significant, Jay. If we let, you know, the camel's nose under the tent regarding they're going to tell you that you can't sing, that you can't chant, it has the potential to lead to the government even being more interfering and more restrictive on people's religious freedoms. And as Andy and I just said, there's no constitutional exception for a virus. And on the one hand, you want to be, you know, careful. The CDC does say that whenever people sing, that they give out more droplets, they express more droplets singing, but that does not give the government the authority to tell people they cannot sing. That is a flagrant violation, when the Constitution says that we cannot prohibit the free exercise of religion. If you tell someone they can't sing, is the government prohibiting the free exercise? You bet.
Yeah, it sure is, but it's interesting here. These churches are willing to take into social distancing measures as far as even the singing and chanting so that there's no exposure. And that's not enough here. So the government just bans it. This is reminiscent of the cases I handled in the 1980s. That's what this reminds me of. No Bibles in school, ever. I remember that. Illegal possession of a Bible. So now we have no singing or chanting in a church. Folks, this is the reason why. Stand with the ACLJ in this matching challenge moment.
Right. We have a matching challenge right now. Whatever you're able to donate online at ACLJ is effectively doubled. It's how we're able to jump right into these cases, how we're able to provide this information to you. Donate today if you're able to. ACLJ.org. Double the impact of your donation.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Let us set the stage for you if you're just joining us for our second half hour. So California, holding in my hand for our Facebook and Periscope audience. So this came from July 1st, so just right before the holiday, of course, typically when these things happen. This is from the California Department of Public Health and their OSHA, their state OSHA. And then you see this is COVID-19 industry guidance. This entire document on places of worship and providers of religious services and cultural ceremonies. Now, it doesn't take long to get into the document where you start seeing words like must. And how do they use must? Places of worship must, therefore, discontinue singing and chanting activities and limit indoor attendance to 25% of building capacity or a max of 100 attendees, whichever, of course, is lower. So always take the lower number, even if you could have, more than 100 people there based off your capacity under that 25% rule. No, you've got to limit it at 100. But even worse, I think, is that they have mandated, they have used the word must when it comes to discontinue singing and chanting activities. This impacts many different types of places of worship, depending on what denomination you may be a part of, depending on whether you are a Christian and what kind of Christian you are, from the Orthodox faith, the Catholic faith, obviously, with a lot of singing, chanting, coming together, reading out prayers, which is common in many Protestant denominations too, or the Orthodox tradition, where there's chanting and singing done officially as part of the service. You also see this in the Jewish faith, in the Islamic faith. I mean, the list goes on. And so they have targeted religion in California to say you must stop doing something which is so important, crucial, a crucial element of your religious service. You know, and it is absurd.
I look at the headline on CNN. And this is what the headline reads. With worsening pandemic, California banned singing in places of worship. Now, we know they're banning singing and chanting. We know they're not banning singing and chanting on mass protests going on in the streets. We know that they're banning worship, which includes singing and chanting, in a church, even if the church was a 5,000-seat auditorium and 100 people were there spread out over that 5,000 seats. So they're restriction on the number of people requirement, Andy, actually makes our case even stronger that there is no constitution, there's no compelling governmental interest, and this certainly isn't the least restrictive means, which is the legal test.
Well, that's exactly right, Jay. Why don't you ban crowds of mobs of protesters? Why don't you put a statement that you can only have 25% of what a street would normally hold or a maximum of 100 attendees? In other words, you have made a restriction on what a house of worship can hold, but you make no restriction on what a street or a sidewalk can hold. You are engaging in the ultimate in hypocrisy here. And in another thing, Jay, you are striking at the very core of the Christian faith. What is the, in the Orthodox Church, every week from the beginning to the end, we chant all the Psalms of David. Those were written by David, intended to be sung on a lyre to music and dance, because that's Chore Venin Ki Agalu Sion. That's what the Orthodox Church says. Dance and praise Zion. And it doesn't mean stand there and just mutely mouth the words, but dance the words and sing the words. And these are tenets of the faith that go back to the founding of the church, Jay and Jordan. These are not anything new that we just started. Why can't we do the same thing in a church as we can on a street in a protest?
They are trying, I say the left, to rewrite how they control civil society, how they control what you can do, what I can do, and how we can even worship. This has been their goal all along from the radical left. How do we change society fundamentally? We'll allow mass protests in the streets saying we should get rid of police, defund police, no mass, no problem there, but we're not going to let you sing in church. Support the work of the ACLJ. We're not going to let this stand. Double the impact your donation, ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110, and we do have a number of calls in. So I want to start with Julie in California, living through this in Gavin Newsom's new dictatorship. Julie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Julie.
Hi, Jordan. I read this Governor Newsom's order on Saturday, and I thought it was a joke originally. I thought it was some, you know, funny news site. And when I saw it was real, I just said, you must be kidding. So I immediately texted my pastor, and I just looked up online verses about Bible singing, and there were 64 right there. And I said, who are we going to give glory to, God or Governor Newsom? And thank God, when I went into church, we were all singing, we were socially distancing, wearing our mask, but, you know, I'm definitely glad the ACLJ is going to do an injunction and do the petition, because if they want to come in and arrest me in church singing, bring it on, and I'm an older lady, you know, I will fight. Thank you.
Well, you know what, Julie? I think that you are tapping into something that a lot of Americans are tapping into. It is, you know, they told us not to wear masks, then we must wear masks, now it's a mandate to wear masks, and are we even going to be able to open schools? What are we going to be able to open up? Did we open up businesses? Some did, some closed. Some say it will be until next year until they do. There's a lot of distrust of authority right now for good reason. For good reason. And at the state levels where you're most connected, I mean, listen, this was Oakland yesterday. Okay? On the streets of Oakland yesterday, this is what was going on. Okay, that's chanting publicly. I bet some of those people don't have masks on to chant and scream in the street. Yesterday, this order targeting churches came out 4 days before that, of course, right before the weekend, and it was a holiday weekend, so they say, oh, people aren't paying as much attention. We are at the American Center for Law and Justice, and we also are paying attention to what you are allowing. So you are allowing protesters in the streets to go and shout at the top of their lungs whatever message they want.
Which they probably have the constitutional right to do.
Right. So you're not trying to limit that. But who do you try to go after? People like Julie, who she said, she's an older lady who wants to go to church and sing her songs.
Okay, so I want to take this back down to kind of a a grassroots level here. And first, let me go to Than. I'm going to go to Wes and then Hare and then Andy. So Wes, Than rather, in Washington or the metro area, what is the situation for churches right now? How is it looking? What are the restrictions in place?
Yeah, we're in what D.C. is calling Phase 2, Jay. They're allowing mass gatherings up to 50 people, and it's being applied, at least as of now, equally to people of faith and people not of faith, religious gatherings, indoor gatherings, outdoor gatherings.
Are churches meeting then up to the 50 limit?
Some churches are, Jay. I would say most are doing what Jordan has said, still being creative, finding other ways to meet. But there are some churches that have chosen to take social distancing precautions, to meet in person, to follow the guidelines, to be respectful. And they're singing as well. That restriction certainly has not come down from Washington, D.C. And I think that's probably the most important thing. Remember, the president deemed places of worship, appropriately so, he deemed them essential. So, Jay, if governors want to put restrictions in place, demonstrations, which they may deem essential, and places of worship, which have been deemed essential, they have to have the same requirements and the same restrictions lifted at the same time.
One of the things that's interesting here, this says places of worship, but what if the worship service was outside at the place of worship? Would it still be applied?
I see. That's why it's very confusing.
It's very, very vague.
Poorly written, but they use that word must, so, which invites legal challenge.
That's what I was going to go to Andy with. So the utilization, the fact that it says places of worship, Andy, must discontinue. Must discontinue singing.
Yeah. Yes, Jay, that's mandatory. That's not voluntary. I looked at this entire document when it was sent to me over the weekend, and I looked at it to see if this was considered an advisory opinion or a mandatory opinion, whether it was voluntary or whether it was necessary. And when I read that statement that places of worship must discontinue chanting and singing, then it was clear to me that they have made a mandate into my church. Coming into my church,
yep,
my cathedral, where I attend to worship God in the way that he has been worshipped since the year 325 A.D. when the Orthodox Church was founded, and now you're going to tell me that I must discontinue the way that Christ has been worshipped since the liturgy of St. John Chrysostom was written in the 4th century? No way will I. They'll have to drag me out, and they'll drag me out singing and chanting.
All right, so Wes, to you again, I think from the pastoral perspective here as a minister of the gospel, this prohibition, if it were to affect you in Georgia, what would your reaction be?
I would support what the ACLJ is doing, you know, with this petition and trying to get an injunction. And personally, you know, there is a time for civil disobedience. And if someone's going to tell me the particulars of how I'm going to worship or not worship, that's the time to stand up and say no, and to actually practice civil disobedience and to say enough is enough. You know, there are limits to governmental authority, and there are reasons for that. And the thing I think about, Jay, is if religious rights aren't safe, what other constitutionally protected rights aren't safe as well? And I think we all know that on the political left in our country, there is this, you know, very open animus towards religion. And I think this is reflective of that. But to Christians of all denominations, whether you're into an independent, you know, evangelical church or the Catholic Church, I'm an Episcopalian, singing is a part of Judeo-Christian worship. In my church, we sing songs, we sing the psalm, the priest chants the divine liturgy, and I understand taking CDC advisory seriously, and in our church in Georgia, we are doing that. Our bishop is doing that, but it's coming from our bishop and from me as the local priest. It is not some government official mandating that they will tell us not whether or not we can worship, but when we do, they're going to tell us how we can worship. That is so unconstitutional, and I would stand against that.
Let me take another call, because I think this is important. It's an encouraging call, and this happened early on in this battle. Grace in Washington State on line 4. Grace, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Grace.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just pray for you guys daily, and thank you, Than, Wes, Andy, and Jordan, and Jay, for standing up for the truth. So I'm calling from Washington State, and our church, along with our church in Kennewick, Washington, along with the church in North Bend, Washington, got together with the Pacific Justice Institute and brought suit against our governor, Jay Inslee.
Yep.
He was discriminating with, he had this phase approach to reopening like most places do. And in the phased opening, he let movie theaters open at half capacity, but churches were still, like Dan talked about, only confined to 50 people. And so the suit was filed on June 5th. And then on June 18th, lo and behold, Governor Inslee changed his requirements in phase 1.5, which we're in right now in Tri-Cities. We can have up to 200 people in church. And he just came out with a new decision. And so our church, you know, was following the guidelines the best that we could. And so they dropped suit because Governor Inslee changed his mandate for the
Well, this is one of the things we're hoping to happen in the case. So, you know, first,
for a quick resolution.
Yeah, we'd like to see a quick resolution. There's two ways they can get out of this. Number one, they could come back and say, no, wait a minute, don't worry, that was just guidance.
Yeah.
Okay.
We use the word must shouldn't have been there.
Must shouldn't have been there. It was just guidance. We're not going to enforce it that way. That would be a win for us. That's not likely what they're going to say. They're going to say, oh, we need this, and then we're going to go in with the constitutional arguments and why they don't. Now, here's the thing. I was talking to Bob Tyler with Advocates for Faith and Freedom yesterday on this, on Sunday. I think this case could end up fast-track to the Supreme Court. So we have to be prepared for that. And their rulings on this have been kind of mixed.
Yeah.
Not really mixed. I mean, they've sided with the local governments a lot. But this one is so outrageous, so extreme, Andy. I just don't see how the court could say there's a compelling governmental interest to have this across-the-board ban on chanting and singing.
I agree with you, Jay. I think this is one of those opinions in which liberals and conservatives on the court would join together and say, look, we've got to draw a line somewhere, and the line is drawn on the freedom of religious expression. We are not going to permit local governments to impinge upon centuries-old traditions of churches and faiths by telling them that they cannot sing, that they cannot chant, that they cannot exercise their liturgical practices as they have done for centuries and generations. I think even the Supreme Court, divided as it is, would say enough is enough and we draw the line here. But of course, you, having been before that court 14 times, know better than anybody else what it's likely to do.
And by the way, we still have not gotten those decisions today in the cases involving the president. They have not yet set another opinion day, at least as we went on the air. Some could be tomorrow, could be this week, could be next week. There's no set time right now.
So folks, first thing I want you to do, go to ACLJ.org, sign our petition. Don't ban singing in church. Sign that petition at ACLJ.org. And remember, July is a matching challenge month. You double the impact of your donation to the ACLJ. Whatever you donate is effectively doubled. Donate today so we can continue to do our legal work and continue to bring you this broadcast every single day.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
We go to the last segment of our broadcast, and our really good friend, my very good friend, country music legend Charlie Daniels, passed away this morning from a stroke. I will tell you, I've known Charlie for 35 years. We were very good friends. I've had the privilege to see him perform many, many times. His Christian testimony is remarkable. His impact on the world of music is legendary. Of course, he's a member of the Country Music Hall of Fame. A member of the Grand Ole Opry. His wife Hazel survives him, and his son Charlie Daniels Jr. as well. And I will tell you, talk about a living legend, bigger than life. But he loved the Lord, and he served the Lord, and always had in his concerts some gospel music. That was Charlie Daniels singing How Great Thou Art. So while our thoughts and our prayers go to the Daniels family, I know Charlie is rejoicing with the Savior right now. But again, he was actively performing until right before the COVID. In fact, I had tickets to go see him in North Carolina in May. Of course, it was canceled because of COVID. He was performing with Charlie Daniels and the Marshall Tucker Band, two of my all-time favorites. And obviously, then he passed away having the stroke. And as I said, he's won numerous awards, too many to name, and really laid a framework for Southern, really laid a great framework with Southern rock music. I mean, he's the kind of the founder of that. He also, I need to say this, Logan just brought this to my attention, that he helped us on our persecution cases, like the case of Syed Abedini, by making personal appeals to people to support their release. So this is a guy. So think about the impact that Charlie Daniels had. Created the genre of music that we call Southern rock, still very popular even today. Bands like Lynyrd Skynyrd followed it, and Marshall Tucker and others. Huge impact on country music. Huge impact on gospel music. Spoke out for the church. A great man who leaves a great legacy with a great family. And again, our thoughts and prayers with the Daniels family, and I'm sure going to miss my friend Charlie Daniels. He was one of a kind. One of a kind.
Let's go back to the phones. Johnny in Florida on line one. Johnny, thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Praise the Lord, everybody. Good afternoon. Listen, to the point, and I'll be very quick and brief. We're being challenged. So we have to face the challenge. And you want to walk in there and give them a challenge for them to face. So I'm going to take you back a little, bring you close, give you the challenge as well, which is for them. Psalms 147, Psalms 148, Psalms 149, Psalm 150 tells us all who to praise, period. When you come to Acts chapter 5 now, and we have verse 28 and 29, when Peter was confronted on, didn't we tell you not to, you know, preach the name? Oh, here we go today. Didn't we tell you that you must be silent, not chant? Okay, what was Peter's response? When it comes to obeying authority, we rather obey God than men. That right. was Peter's response.
And Acts 4:29 itself says, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with boldness. So there's plenty of scripture reference, Andy, here to protect the First Amendment.
Well, there is, and we know it, of course, in the Orthodox Church, because we inherited from the Jewish tradition. We are the amalgamation of the Old Testament and the New Covenant, and all that is bounded in the praising of the Lord through hymns, through chants, through psalms, through singing, through rejoicing, through the use of your mouth filled with the Spirit. And all of that is not talk. It's not reciting, but it's singing and chanting, and we are not going to let the government of all entities now tell us in our churches that we must be silenced when God in the Scripture tells us to do just the opposite, as the caller so rightly said when he cited scriptural verse.
All right, 1-800-684-3110. We're going to continue to get to your phone calls. That's 1-800-684-3110. David in Georgia online too. David, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Good afternoon, my brother. It's amazing that Gavin and the Newsomites have come back for a second bite at the apple.
Yeah.
You all are real familiar with that Supreme Court case from about 5 to 6 weeks ago, where that Pentecostal church in California was told they had to limit their worship, and they lost 5-4
yep.
at the Supreme Court. And Mr. Roberts disappointed me, and now Gavin and the Newsomites are back.
Yeah, so around. Here's the thing. I am very aware, and Andy would tell you this. I am really aware of what the challenge can be here. So here's the plan. Win this case at the district court level if possible, win it at the Ninth Circuit, and then present it to the Supreme Court in such a way in the days ahead, and this will probably move very, very quickly, so that it's an easier case. It's not a defiance of, we're not even challenging at this point the limitation on the amount of people. In fact, the fact that they have this limitation on the amount of people, which is so ironic that you could have a 5,000-seat worship center and only allow 100 people in, and they can't sing or chant. They could literally be 200 yards away, but you can't sing and chant. You can't have a chanter sing and chant.
No, this is, again, California takes it that further step to see how far can their government power go? How far can they push it? And people are experiencing this across the country. I mean, listen, this is a Sienna in Maryland on line 5. Sienna, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
God bless you. I couldn't believe my ears when I heard you. I was depressed today because I'm a cantor. I was not allowed to sing at Mass inside yesterday. We can sing in Montgomery County, Maryland. We can sing at the 5:30 outside Mass on Saturday.
Yeah.
But we're not allowed to sing inside. And I was not allowed to sing the Star Spangled Banner because it was this weekend. I bit my lips. I couldn't stand it.
So this isn't. Let me ask you a question here, Sienna. So were you not allowed to sing inside of church, to chant inside of church, because of something that the governor did or the local municipality or a church decision?
Well, after this, I'm going to go look it up. We have a very, very strenuous executive in Montgomery County. I think
I know you do
know
in your government. So find out for me, if you can, whether it was a church made the decision because they wanted to follow more stringent guidelines, that's one thing, or whether this was mandated by the government. And email us, and if you go to aclj.org, email us saying you spoke to us on radio, and here's the follow-up on that. And, Than, those are the kind of things we want to know, so keep your eyes open, too, up in Washington, Maryland, and Virginia.
Yeah, we'll do, Jay. All the counties around here have their own guidance, and I would add just maybe this to the caller. Also ask them if the guidance in Montgomery County applies to places that aren't places of worship. Can you gather in another place that's not a place of worship and can't? Can you guide in a place that's not a place of worship
and
demonstrate,
be no.
Jay? Yeah. My guess is that you can do it in those cases.
I don't know what they're going to – I think
California did that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you were an outside worship service at a church whether they let you do it, but if you were outside protest, I think they would.
Yeah, it's very
– viewpoint discrimination at a minimum. It's content-based, and it's targeting religious worship, which is protected by the First Amendment. They cannot do that.
It was interesting. Lynette was going to talk to us. She leads religious services on a military base in Texas. They said if she even lowered her mask to perform the singing part, they would cancel the entire service. So, I mean, this is something everybody's facing at different levels. What we're looking for at the ACLJ is like what happened out of California, is legally actionable cases. Legally actionable cases. If you've got them, go to aclj.org/help. If you can support the work of the ACLJ, double the impact of your donation the entire month of July. We are in a battle for our religious liberty rights in the United States, and we don't know how long this battle is going to go on.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.